Welcome to another inspiring episode of Igniting You. I'm your host, Adrian, and I have my wife, Chris, with me.
What up?
Now, most couples have plans set, right, when they get married. A few years of bliss, and you start having a family and all that good stuff. And honestly, we were no different. But as the saying goes, we plan and God laughs. So his divine plan for us took us on what I would call an unexpected path towards parenthood. And so for today's episode, we will share how God revealed to our daughter to us while we were homeless and thought we couldn't have children. And then after 11 years of marriage, we were blessed to become parents for the first time. So before we get into the nitty gritty though of our story, Bay, let's take them to church. What's our scripture for today?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to be reading from the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 1, verse 11, and the New International Version. And it reads, "And she made a vow, saying, Lord Almighty, if you only look on your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head."
Amen. Amen. So like I said before, most couples have plans to get married, right? They get married and then wait a few years, you know, kind of go through that honeymoon phase, and then they want to start a family. And obviously when we got married in 2009, you know, it was no different. You know, we wanted to kind of do the same things. But unfortunately, God had other plans. And honestly, we should have known he had other plans, even just by how we got married, right? Like, I mean, we ended up, you know, losing my job in 2008. Having to spend all the money that we had, you know, for saving up for marriage to live off of. And then lo and behold, God blesses us with a free wedding. So, you know, we should have known at that point that, you know, God had other plans for us. But we did put off, having a kid for, you know, the first 10 years of our marriage, honestly, because of financial instability and homelessness and things like that. I mean, you know, going through foreclosure, going through just not having funds and being, you know, unstable where we live and all that kind of stuff. I mean, honestly, we just couldn't even think about having kids.
Yeah. And I would just want to add to that because, you know, I'm a planner and I really wanted the first 5 years of our marriage to be, you know, filled with traveling and, you know, getting some things checked off the bucket list. You know, I wasn't necessarily in a huge rush to start having kids after we got married. But, you know, definitely just understanding that we have a biological clock and it does tick.
Right.
Want to, you know, at least start having some after 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the meantime and in between time, it's like we were put on hold from a financial standpoint, but also like from a life standpoint, too.
Right. Right. I mean, and that's the thing, too, is like, you know, when we got married, I think I was like 26, going to turn 27. So, I mean, that's a good age, honestly, to start, but then not wait too long, right, to have a kid. But, you know, like we said, you know, God had other plans for us. And now, I don't know what you all's, background when it comes to faith and believing God for things. And, you know, one thing that we have experienced in our marriage is just an evolution, I would say, of our faith, you know, going from kind of a surface level thing and going beyond that to really, really having a powerful gift of faith that I call that no matter what happens, you know, we can believe God for that. And so, you know, it's, you know, we lost everything and we were homeless and, you know, we would visit different churches and, you know, one church in particular we visited, they were talking about having a, a prophetic meeting or prophetic training, I'd say, on a Saturday. And I remember it too. And, you know, I won't go into a whole bunch of details about the prophetic and all that kind of stuff. But what I will tell you though, is during that time, during that session, like I really felt so close to God, and it was a closeness that I never felt before. And in this closeness, God actually revealed our daughter to me, right? And it was a crazy kind of thing because, you know, we were supposed to just kind of like just give up of ourselves and, you know, whatever God revealed to us, you know, whether it be through sound or sight, you know, we were supposed to write it down, right? And so I'm in this group and I had this picture of this girl. And, you know, she's tall, beautiful girl, you know, probably about, you know, I would say anywhere between 8 to 10 years old. And I'm looking, I'm like, you know, I don't know whose daughter this belongs to, but I'm going to write down what God showed me. And lo and behold, you know, we come back and it's God showed me it was her. And he revealed to me it was her. And I was like, whoa, like, really? Like, this is her? And the funny thing about it is, like, you know, sometimes you get things and God reveals things to you and you kind of, sometimes you may forget about it or whatever, but this is something that from this day forward, I have never forgotten about. I've never forgotten what I saw. Even the house, kind of the house that we were in. And obviously, you know, if you guys
have been with us. Blessing.
Right. I was like, if you guys have been with us for a while, you know, you'll hear all about our faith when it comes to our home situation, all that kind of stuff.
Thank you, Lord.
But, I mean, the thing about it is, like, God showed me her, you know, and I held on to it. And I told you about what I saw, too. And, you know, I think your reaction was what? Like, did you believe me when I said this or what?
Well, yeah, I always, you know, hold on to what you share. You know, I don't ever take anything like that for granted, especially when you're operating in the realm of the prophetic. You know, those are messages directly from God. So it's like, you know, you kind of treasure them in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will admit that, you know, at the time, my faith was not very strong in that because of our circumstances.
Right.
It was just really hard for me to see that, you know, coming into fruition. But, you know, just trusting and believing in God for maybe one day and not letting go of it, you know, I stored it away.
Mm-hmm.
Like, trinity in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. And that's the thing, too, because even at the time, you know, like I said, we were so far from that, so far from just, like, you know, believing that and having that come to fruition because, you know, we're trying to figure out where we're going to sleep.
Right.
We're trying to figure out what we're going to eat. You know, we're not thinking about no child, bringing a child into this situation, you know? But, you know, the thing about it, as we look back on that, though, the one thing that I can really just look back at is we were so much babies in our faith, but also babies in our relationship, in a sense.
Yeah.
You know, because we were married, you know, got married and everything, but we didn't really know really how to be man and wife, you know, husband and wife. We didn't really know how to really be that. And I believe, honestly, and I think you can attest to this as well, that God really had to secure that bond before we even thought about bringing a child into this.
I mean, and what better way to do that than have us, you know, living together in a two-seater car.
Right.
Not a two-bedroom apartment, but a two-seater car to help us to really, really take that time to get to know each other because we got to talk out a lot of different scenarios.
Absolutely.
You know, we talked about how would we, you know, discipline our kids one day.
Mm-hmm.
We would just think of scenarios and run through them.
Shoot, I mean, even just naming our kids,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, where discipline, where we would live, I mean, the dreams we have for them, I mean, just whatever, you know.
We got to lay it all out. We really did, and in great detail,
mm-hmm.
you know.
But that's the thing, though, that was so such a blessing, though, in disguise, because, you know, God kind of took that opportunity, so to speak, away, but it allowed us really to focus on who we were, you know, not only who we were as a couple, but also who we were as individuals and how we can be the best version of ourselves in marriage, right? And I think, honestly, the thing that I took away from it, honestly, was just understanding my role as a husband first. Because the thing about it, and we kind of believe this, and I don't know how other people do, but sometimes when you get married, and especially when you have kids like early on, it just becomes all about them,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, you're having a kid and you have all the attention, which, again, I get because obviously we have one, so, you know, she deserves a lot of attention, but you tend to lose attention towards your mate, right? You don't go on dates anymore. You don't do things anymore. You know, you're just basically partnering in your parenting with your child.
Yeah, you can easily become roommates.
Right.
And you're not careful.
Right. And honestly, and that's the thing that we were able to establish in that is that, okay, who are we together first before who are we with, you know, who are we as husband and wife before who are we as parents,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think the biggest thing that we took from that is understanding that no matter what, we are a team. We came first.
Always.
Right? And it's like, you know, sometimes, you know, parents may get into this, like, grudge match about, you know, well, I believe this and you believe that. And honestly, man, kids pick up on that.
Yeah.
You know, especially as they get older and especially the sneaky ones, they play off of that type of stuff, too.
Right.
You know, and I think for us, though, as our, you know, as our child gets older and older, that's not necessarily something that, you know, hopefully, knock on wood, that comes into play, because we have this bond together. Like, we know us, and we know that we have to take care of ourselves first before we can, you know, take care of her.
Yeah, because she done already tried it.
Oh, she tried
it. She tried to go and ask mommy first. Mommy said no, and then she tried to go and ask daddy. And then daddy said, well, what'd your mom say?
Exactly.
So, and she's learning to know that we're on the same page. You know, we're a team. Mm-hmm. And she's kind of on the other side of the field.
She's like, oh, I'm outnumbered.
Right. So, I mean, that's the importance and the blessing of building just a really strong foundation mm-hmm. and a bond as a couple, first and foremost. You know, you may want to rush into having kids immediately after marriage, and you know, circumstances may call for that, but it's important to take the time together as a couple to build a very strong biblical spiritual foundation
mm-hmm.
in Christ
mm-hmm.
as the cornerstone, the foundation of your marriage and your relationship before you bring a child into the world.
Right. Because the thing about it, too, is like, you know, sometimes people look at the Bible and they don't want it to be an example because they say it was outdated or it's irrelevant because times have changed and all that kind of stuff. But in all honesty, man, I mean, time does change, obviously, but people kind of don't, you know? And the thing that I've learned just by going into the Word is what my role as a husband, what my role as a father is. And that, honestly, is something that I will always take with me. Now, am I perfect in it? Absolutely not. However, whenever I do get off track, right, where do I go? I have an opportunity to go back to the Word and understand, okay, what am I supposed to do? And I understand, too, that sometimes and most times, honestly, it ain't going to be what I want to do, right? Like, naturally, I want to do certain things, right? But it's all about sacrificing. And as I sacrifice, and as I show you sacrifice, then guess what? She's, you know, our daughter is seeing sacrifice as well. And so part of that really is understanding my role in terms of my obligation to you, but it's also my role, my obligation to teach my daughter. Because right now I have to really kind of understand she's learning what a man is
mm-hmm.
based off of me. Based off of how I say things, how I treat her, how I treat you, you know, all these different things. And so when she grows up, she's going to be looking for that same thing, you know.
And same in me, you know, she's learning how to treat a man and how, you know, I relate and treat you,
mm-hmm.
you know. So we're just living examples of, you know, how she's going to walk in future relationships and friendships. And we want to set a godly precedent and example for her to follow that's just strong. And if, you know, and this also leave room for mistakes because nobody's perfect.
Right.
But, you know, one thing that we really do hark on and encourage her and one another with is that, okay, yeah, we messed up. But, you know, we need to make up, pray about it, get reconciled, and bring it back and then keep it moving.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do all the hard stuff. All the hard stuff that your flesh doesn't want you to do.
Yeah.
That's what you have to do.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Now, the understanding too, like one of the things that we had to go through and understand just believing God for this, because even though God had showed me her, you know, I understood even just from a prophetic standpoint or message standpoint that this may not happen very soon. Right. And not only was he really strengthening our bond, but he was also strengthening our faith, too. And the thing that one of the pivotal moments that I think you can agree with is when I had my cardiac arrest in 2018. Right. And again, we didn't have, you know, our child in 2018. And when I had my cardiac arrest and I basically died, that was a time where I think probably more so for you than me, where faith really came into play and believing God at his word.
Well, yeah, I think that prophetic message is what helped me see the other side of the cardiac arrest.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the biggest things that stood out in my mind was what I consider to be a promise of God with us having a daughter. Like we were prophesied that a couple of times, actually. There's another time a lady prophesied and said that you will have a child. You know, when the cardiac arrest happened, you know, all of those things kind of just played in my mind. I was like, well, that ain't true because God has yet to fulfill these promises. So that's what helped me hold on. But, you know, beyond that, it sparked something in me. Because I would say at the time of your cardiac arrest, like we were out of homelessness at that time for a few years. And we're finding stability in our way and full-time work and going to school and graduating and doing all of these things, just getting back on our feet, you know, starting to enjoy life again. Because we lost years of our prime, you know, to homelessness and lack. And once we came out of our situation, you know, we were enjoying life at that time. We were having fun. We were playing a lot of tennis. We were starting to get back into our traveling thing and really enjoying each other. You know, how we wish we could have all those years we were in the car. So I kind of started putting off, you know, the idea of having a kid. You know, it was just getting pushed back a little bit more and more. Because I was like, yeah, you know, we have a kid. I think I did say at one time, you know, if we have a kid, great. If not, you know, we'll be okay. We've gone so long, you know, this is at this point, we're almost about 10 years into our marriage. You know, I'm thinking, you know, we'll be all right. We wouldn't went this long without having a kid, you know. We can maybe adopt when we get ready to, but I want to live life. I want a child. I want to see the world, you know, before we even think about having a kid. But once the cardiac arrest happened, you know, I started to think, man, okay, life ain't promised. We may not make it to see tomorrow. So we need to stop playing around here. And I'm getting older. We're both getting older. You know, health starting to catch up. And, you know, so it was a revelation in a sense for me. Say, okay, I think we should try.
And that's the thing, too, that's kind of like a real underlying theme when you believe in God for really anything, you know, whether you believe in God for a child or a house or a job or whatever, it's like there are always going to be things that's going to like test you in that. And so for us, I mean, it was, you know, that cardiac arrest and even honestly circumstance wise, right? Because we're looking around and we're in a one bedroom apartment, you know, we're kind of like, this isn't really where we want to be when we're trying to have a kid, right? And so we're trying to like, you know, get a bigger place, but really couldn't get a bigger place. But honestly, what we had to come back to is that no matter where we are, if this is something that we want and we believe God for, that God will provide for us, that, okay, and this is, that's a, you know, test of faith. Right? Because, you know, can we believe God for something that we want, even though our circumstances don't look like how we want them to look? And I think that's what we really kind of came down to. It was like, you know what, let's try. Let's try. Because in an A, like, we, you know, we hadn't really tried before. And it's like, you know, let's try. And then, lo and behold, you know, we try. And God blesses us with our baby girl, you know? And I think that's just a testament of not only patience, right? But learning how to grow together, but also learning how to grow in your faith and believing God, even in spite of your circumstances, believing God for what you believe him for. And so honestly, when God did bless us with her, we made sure, because we knew this wasn't of us, you know, this was God.
She was a gift from God.
It was a gift of God. And that's why we made sure that we named her Lael. L-A-E-L.
Her middle name,
which stands for of God or belonging to God, because she truly is a gift. And we want to make sure that God gets our first fruits, right? When we tithe, we give our first fruits. And so, you know, we want to make sure that no matter what, we raise her, you know, in the way that God wants us to do that, right?
So, yeah, moral of the story, you know, whether you're waiting on a child, a partner, the job, you know, the point is just trust in God's plan and let's not lean to our own understanding. So as we conclude this episode of Igniting You, we sincerely hope that our journey to parenthood can serve as a testament to the blessing of waiting on God's divine plan. The road that we traveled to parenthood was long and it was frustrating. And it was hard. Not so hard. But, you know, like most couples, we had our own timeline. We had our own dreams. We had our plans, but God has different plans. Like A said earlier, if you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans.
Facts.
in our case, we had to put aside the idea of having children for like the first decade of our marriage. But remember, God might delay our hopes and dreams, but you know, the point of that is to prepare us to be the best versions of ourselves when those blessings arrive. Now, whether you're waiting again for a child, a partner, a job, whatever it is, just trust in God's timing and remember that we cannot lean on our own knowledge, but trust in His wisdom and His grace is more than sufficient. So, as we invite you to reflect on your journey in these areas where you're waiting for God, just know that His timing is perfect. We appreciate all of you for being a part of Igniting You. Your presence is a blessing to us, and we look forward to sharing more stories of faith in the future. So hit that subscribe button and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. For support on your journey, you can also visit our website at www.ignitingyou.org. We're here to coach you through your journey as well. Mm-hmm. A, do you have anything you want to add?
No, you know, I always got something to add, right? So, you know, many people refer to the story of Abraham and Sarah for inspiration when it comes to having children. And honestly, you should. It's an amazing story. But honestly, this episode is more than just a story about waiting to have a child. It's a story of waiting for everything you believe God for. So what have you been believing God for? A child, a new job, to get out of that bad situation you're in that you may have put yourself in. This episode is really about the unwavering faith it takes to achieve what others deem impossible. I mean, so many times we give up right before our breakthrough happens, and then we are always left wondering if we gave up too soon, right? So what if I just waited one more day or one more week or even one more year? Understand, you are so close. Just hold on, I promise you. I promise you, especially if God has given you a vision, I mean, there is a 100% chance, 100% guarantee that you will face a trial that is designed specifically to throw you off that course. Now, understand this. Every obstacle that you encounter is an opportunity to achieve what God has called you to do and part of your testimony. Remember, there is no testimony without the test. Believe God for the impossible. If your dream doesn't scare you, it doesn't make you nervous, or even take more out of you than what you're capable of giving, then honestly, it's too small. It's too small. God is a big God, and He wants to bless you with big desires. When God told us we were going to have a child, and I saw her with my very own eyes, I saw like her, she was jump roping, she was doing all this stuff in the park, in the driveway. I was like, who is this child, you know? But honestly, inside of me, even though it was hard for me to come to it, I knew that it was her that we believed God for. Even when I almost died, we believed Him. When we were sleeping in our car on 13-degree nights, we believed Him. When we could barely make ends meet, when we had more month than money, that's what they say, when everything around us told us that this may not be for you, we believed Him. My encouragement to you, my desire for you is to believe Him today and watch what He does. Now, as I close, I just want to say a quick prayer for everyone. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord God, for faith. I thank You, Lord, for the obstacles. Because we understand and know these obstacles are like roadmaps that tell us that we are on the right track. That, Lord God, we knew that if we were on the right track, it would be easy sailing. But Father God, we know that with anything that is worth having is worth fighting for. And we just pray, Lord God, that everyone under the sound of my voice is fighting for what they believe You for. Father God, we just pray, Lord, that they seek You first and the kingdom and all His righteousness. In that, Lord God, You will give them the desires of their heart, because ultimately those are the desires of Your heart. We just pray, Lord God, that this message has been a blessing to everyone. We pray, Father God, for continued blessings on all of our listeners, on ourselves, Father God, on our child, and all the children that we see every day, Father. We bless you, Lord God. We praise you, Lord God, for what you've done and what you continue to do for us. Let everyone, Lord God, who has breath, praise you and have faith, Lord God, that that small voice that is whispering about the belief for something, that they listen to it, Father, and that they heed to what it's saying, even in spite of how things look, even in spite of how they feel, that they will believe, Lord, that you have sent this message to them for a great reason. And so, Lord God, we thank you, Lord. Thank you for your voice. Thank you, Lord, for your example in Jesus Christ. And we just pray, Lord God, that you will continue to download in us the messages that you have for us to live by. We pray, Lord, this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks for listening. Until next time, peace.
Peace.